Tonight, our scripture reading will be taken from the 133rd Psalm. Psalm 133, and we will read the psalm in its entirety. Psalm 133, a song of degrees of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Once again, we are honored with your presence here tonight as we are examining Psalm 133. And as I was listening to Brother Bobby giving his report, I think we can make a tie-in, because we can all dwell together as the gist, the point of this psalm is that we dwell together in unity. And we do that when we say the same thing, when we teach the same thing, when we believe the same thing. And it's nice to know, and I'm sure Brother Bobby will agree, that we have faithful brethren we can dwell together in unity with here in this county, surrounding states, and even other parts of the world. I think that's one of the beautiful blessings of being a Christian, being a part of the Lord's church. And tonight, you could title the psalm In Praise of Unity. And as I teased it this morning in our sermon, this may be the first verse of this psalm, may be one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, simply because we live in a part of the world where we can see this. When we go, I'm reminded of what happened at our gospel meeting. We had upwards of 30 different congregations come out and support our gospel meeting, and we turn around and do the same thing when other congregations have gospel meetings, and yet we're all dwelling together in unity. We may worship at a different meeting house, but we're all dwelling together for the same reason, that of worshiping God. Now, when we talk about a song of degree, this is second to last. There are 15 of them, starting at 120 through 134, so we've almost reached that section of the book of Psalms, and they were probably sang on their way to that yearly trek to Jerusalem. We can see how some would fit in better times than others. I think this one would fit in very well when they're getting ready to go dwell with everybody else there in Jerusalem. When we think about unity, we need to remind ourselves unity should not be confused with peace. Unity and peace are two different things. We can dwell together in unity and still not have the peace that passes all understanding, because we may be dealing with something in our lives. But we know what unity is. That's what Jesus Christ prayed for in John 17. That was his whole goal. That's what Paul wrote those at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. He says, I beseech you that we all speak the same thing, that there be no differences among you. Paul wanted them all to be unified. Paul, in the entirety of the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, prayed for unity and talked about how there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, all these things. And since there's just one, if we believe that, then we have unity with those that have that as well. Now, Jesus did not pray in John 17 that we would agree to disagree. And he didn't pray that we would have unity and diversity. He wants everybody to speak, say, and think the same thing. Now, there are three verses to this psalm. It's a short psalm, but many lessons. Verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I find it interesting that David starts with behold. Because really, David could have started by saying how good and how pleasant it is. But when he says behold, it's a word that focuses your attention. David says, look at this. Study it over. Appreciate it. Wonder at it. Enjoy it. Behold how good and pleasant. When we talk about brethren, that's what the unity consists of. Now, when he's talking about brethren, he's talking about the Jewish people in the immediate context, those of the spiritual Israel. But today we are of that same group. If we have obeyed the gospel, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we cannot have unity with someone else unless we have something in common. And being brethren, We ought to have unity. I'm reminded of what happened with Abraham and Lot in Genesis 13 and verse 8. Abram, as his name was at that time, said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my brethren and thy herdsmen, or my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren." Now they were uncle and nephew, but he says, "We're of the same family, we're brethren. There should be no contentions, there should be no strife among us." We see Ephesians 2:16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. When we're in that one body, we are brothers and sisters, one with another. And Christ is the one that reconciles us into that one body. He talks about dwelling together or abiding together. And he says not just be together, they dwell together. Think about in any relationship, if you're going to dwell with someone else, you're going to have to learn, be forbearing of one another in lowliness, in meekness, in long-suffering, in love. Two people that usually don't get along, they don't stay together for too long, do they? Because they're not compatible. Well, here we all need to dwell together, and we all need to be like-minded, and this unity is both good and pleasant. Now, all things can be good, but not all good things can be pleasant. For instance, chemotherapy, a treatment to cure cancer, that's a good thing because it helps eradicate the cancer from the body. But people that have gone through it will tell you it's not pleasant. It's good, it helps get rid of that disease, but it's not pleasant. Truth is good, but the truth hurts sometimes. We speak the truth in love, Ephesians 2, but sometimes it's tough love. And so it's not always pleasant for the recipient. Some things that are pleasant are not good. Shakespeare talked about that revenge was sweet, but also said it was a medicine to cure deadly grief. But then he also talks about revenge being wicked. So they're not always hand in hand. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 11:25, as he's talking about Moses, he says, "Moses decided not to enjoy the pleasures of sin." Sin is not good. Pleasure is good, but sin is not good, so then that would make that pleasure bad. Something that is both good and something that is both pleasant is indeed praiseworthy. Peace is pleasant, but if it comes at the price of surrender of the truth, then peace is not good. If you give up your truth because you want to have peace with somebody, then you haven't gained anything. The unity of the Spirit is both good and pleasant. Now we do some historical background on verse 2. He's talking about the fact of dwelling together. He says, "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments." Here David is reminiscing when Aaron, Moses' brother, was appointed as the first high priest. You can read about this in Exodus 30, verses 22 through 33. I'm not going to read that lengthy passage, but just suffice it to say that this oil that was poured on the top of Aaron, it was not their everyday oil that they would use. In fact, this oil was only to be made at times when you would appoint somebody in a position such as this. So every time they smelt that aroma, they would instantly associate that with the appointing of a priest or a high priest. Now the Bible tells us that they're going to take a cup of hin, H-I-N. A hin is between 1 and 2 gallons. That's a unit of measurement. So think about it this way. If you're going to pour 1.5 gallons to 2 gallons of some kind of an oil on the top of somebody's head, it's going to go all the way down, and it's going to get in. If it's a man that has a beard, it's going to run all through his beard, and then it's going to wind up eventually on the floor. Think about maybe a good smelling shampoo, and you've been in there and you've been the rinse, lather, repeat, and you keep going and you get all these bubbles and they start kind of just going down your face, maybe down your back. Kind of the same sentiment here. We see it is good and pleasant. Why Aaron's beard? Why is David mentioning this? Perhaps the best of the oil and the sweetest spices from the beginning. The fragrance of unity, if ever enjoyed, will be never forgotten. the people that were there that would have smelled that oil that they poured on Aaron, they would not have forgotten because it was a different scent. We need to not forget about dwelling together in unity. Now verse 3, it says, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Here's another analogy that deals with Mount Hermon. It's something majestic about this mountain, most mountains in general. Psalm 89 and 12 also mentions Mount Hermon rejoicing in the name of the Lord. Now Hermon is north, if you look at it on a map, it's north of the Sea of Galilee, and it would have snow on the top of it, and the snow would melt, and that runoff, it would go all the way to the springs at the bottom, and that sources of the springs would feed the streams that fill all the way out to the Sea of Galilee. So a lot of the water in the Sea of Galilee started as snow up on top of Mount Hermon. And then once it passes the sea, it goes all the way through the Jordan River Valley. It's about 5 times taller than Ben Lomond Mountain, if you're familiar with that in Warren County. That's about 1,900 feet and about 10 miles long. Mount Hermon is about 20 miles long and is 9,200 feet tall. So you imagine all that snow. They would have snow all the way into July, even into August, as we would think of it today, up on top of it, and it would keep rushing that cool water down. In fact, many times you would wake up in Jerusalem in the hot months to a cool dew on the ground because of all this snow that's melting off the top of Mount Hermon. Now, why is he mentioning this here? Well, the Lord commanded the blessing, and we see that there at the end, because Zion is just another biblical name for Jerusalem. And so even life evermore. God promised through Abraham that he was going to bless all the nations of the earth. And then Jesus Christ said the gospel is going to be preached first where? In Jerusalem or in Zion. And that result would get eternal life. We studied Acts 2:38 this morning in our Bible class. A chapter 3 parallel of that is Acts 3:19. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Think about that. Times of refreshing is when the dews from Mount Hermon would come down in the hot months and bring that cool snowy air and give you that nice refreshing cool breeze when everything else around you is just so hot. The gospel would bring both Jew and Gentile together in unity, but more, the power to restore the unity between God and man. Jesus Christ is the one that reconciles us to that. When we're baptized into Christ, you come out of that water, and that water flows from you like the ointment that came off of Aaron's beard. You come out of that watery grave, water's just going to pour off of you. Because baptize, baptizo, literally means to submerge. Or some people say, hold them down until they bubble. I don't think it's necessarily that far, but they have to get all the way wet, and you bring them back up, and that water just comes off of them. Think of that as being refreshed like the dews that come off of Mount Hermon. You come out of that watery grave, you're a new child. You've been born again. Psalm 133 talks about precious relationships, how brethren are to dwell together in unity, and also how we need to dwell with God, being submissive and obedient to His Word every day of our lives. If you are not part of this special, precious relationship, if you have not obeyed the gospel, you do so through hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, having your sins washed away, come out of that watery grave, a new creature. If you have, you need to remain faithful unto death, and the Bible promises you will receive a crown of life. But you only get that upon being faithful to the end. You don't get it here, then you quit. If you're not faithful, you need to get back in line and leave this building in a right relationship with our Lord. If we can help you in any way at all tonight, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.